2, reporters...
Blog Talk Radio.
...significant developments.
The court has told us they will notify when jury deliberations begin for the day. They'll notify us when there's any break or when they stop deliberations, and then we will get a heads up if there are any questions.
Jurors are to decide whether the former Minneapolis police officer should be convicted or acquitted of killing George Floyd last May by pinning him to the pavement until he died. The jurors are sequestered. President Biden is talking about his phone call with members of George Floyd's family. Biden says he waited until the jury in the Derek Chauvin trial was sequestered.
They're a good family, and they're calling for peace and tranquility, no matter what that verdict is.
Biden says he can only imagine the pressure and the anxiety family members are feeling. European countries can continue to use the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Sabine Strauss with the European Medicines Agency notes, though, that there are problems.
The truck has concluded that there is a possible link between the occurrence of these blood clots combined with the low levels of blood platelets from the thrombocytopenia and the vaccination with the COVID-19 vaccine, Janssen.
EU regulators added the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risks. More than 10.5 million Americans can look forward to more than $2 billion in health insurance rebates later this year. On average, people who bought health insurance on the individual affordable care market will see rebates of $299 this fall. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
Let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative talk weather. Outlook for Tuesday, well, we'll see sunny skies again today. High temperatures on 70, 71 degrees. Clear skies for this evening. Low temperatures dropping down to about 48, 49. For Wednesday, much of the same. More sunshine, a few high passing clouds. High temperatures on 71, 72. Partly cloudy skies for Wednesday night. Lows down to about 49. For Thursday and for Friday, partly sunny skies. Of course, that means more clouds. High temperatures in the upper 60s. And low temperatures for the evening, still in the upper 40s. With partly cloudy skies.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome to our good news segment. But this is more than a good news segment. I have got somebody joining me here today who, not only when I think about his lifetime, I take a look at the many different choice points he has had. I take a look at what he has learned. And the only way that I see this is through this fabulous book that he has written, Take Charge. Take Charge. What does that mean? So I was reading his book, Norman Bacall. I was reading his book, and what I was thinking about was for myself, wow, this is such insight, not just for me as I look back at my career, but anybody out there that is thinking about how do I go from where I am today, wherever you are, to that place you want to go in your career and in your life. This is one of these books that comes along once in a blue moon because it cuts to the chase. It's filled with great stories, but it also has such personal meaning. Norman, it's great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. It's really, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
I got to go from a punchline I highlighted in your book, and I'm a highlighter in the book kind of girl. I don't know why that is. I just like to get that highlighter out, and there it is. And I want to go to this part in the book. And it hit me so right between the eyes. So I'm reading the book, and there are a couple things I'm going to talk to you about. But I get to the end, and it says this. There is no easy path to the top, regardless of where the mountain is located. Ultimately, it's about choices. We look at some of those choices further on. But I love this. Ultimately, it's about choices. I want to ask you this question. This is a fabulous book, Take Charge, The Skills That Drive Professional Success. I love this. I want to ask you, what was your greatest obstacle? What was that thing, Norm, that you had to overcome? And then once you overcame it, it was like, whoa, I think I've got a little bit of insight. What was that thing? Because you have a fabulous career. You have launched a successful, successful isn't even the right word, law firm. You are somebody that when we pick up this book to read it, we're not reading it from an academic perspective. We're reading it from somebody that has done this. Can you think about what that obstacle might have been?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, and there are really two of them, but the first one is not what you would imagine as an obstacle. I was 4 years into my career, and my career was going okay. I was a lawyer at a very respectable law firm. We were relatively small. I think we were at the time about 30, 35 lawyers, which in those days wasn't too big. And I walked into my annual review, and my boss looks at me. About 15 minutes into the interview, he says, "Norm, I don't know what it is, but there's something missing, and I can't even explain to you what it is." And I don't think a sentence in my lifetime ever crushed me more up to that point. Like, it's clear I'm getting a negative review.
Yeah.
He's basically telling my career is going nowhere, and he can't give me any advice for how to fix myself. So I went home, and I had a chat with my wife, and if, you know, sometimes you talk or you read about life's turning point moments, and this was it for me.
Yeah.
And my wife, Sharon, listens to my story, my tale of woe, and she begins to talk to me, and she doesn't stop talking for about an hour. And at the end of the hour, the one thing I've boiled out of this is, Norm, you're not taking enough initiative. Like, you're letting this all happen to you. But yet you have a nice career where you are, but your boss is basically telling you you're not climbing, you're not going anywhere. And it's because you're not, and these are the words that end up becoming the title of the book, you're not taking charge of where you're going. And I made a resolution that night that from that point forward, everything that happened to me was going to be my decision and not somebody else's. And that went from every single interaction I had to every meeting I attended. I was the guy in the meeting. I'm a tax lawyer. In the old days, I guess you'd call me a tax geek.
Yeah.
I was the guy sitting in the corner of this meeting, taking the notes and then leaving the room and figuring out what to do. Like, I was smart enough to do that. But I was never the guy who you would ever imagine leading that meeting. And I decided from that, every time I walked into a meeting, I would lead it, I would run it, I would take the initiative, and I would become something that I wasn't yet. So apart from anything else, I had to find out if I had it in me. I didn't know. And what I saw very slowly over the course of the next year was a transformation, not only in the way I behaved, but in the way I saw the whole world and the opportunities that were suddenly there for me. And literally within 12 months of that point, I had designed my first deal on my own. And within 2 years of that point, I had become, and it's shocking, I'd become the leading Canadian expert in film finance. And went on over the course of the next 10 to 15 years to become one of the leading lawyers in the world in that area. And I started consulting with major Hollywood studios,
I spent a lot of time on the lot at Warner Brothers. I ended up on the board of Lionsgate. But if I'd gone back to that point in my fourth year, and you looked at me and you analyzed me, like my boss, you would have said, Norm, like, lots of potential, but we have no idea how to tap into it. And it was one word, and it was called initiative.
Mm. You know, the reason I ask you that question is because there's so much for people to hear in your answer and your journey and your story that sometimes doesn't get translated. And, you know, I've been doing this 17 years, and I've asked that question for a lot of interviews, and I'm always in awe to hear a person's answer to that, and especially yours. You know, because I think about myself and my own corporate career, and especially where I am now. And I remember the performance reviews where they said that they thought of us from another planet. I mean, imagine this. You're a corporate executive, and somebody puts that in a review. Now I know that was a compliment. Now I'm sitting here, you know, the founder of the Transformation Network, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do with that. But here's what I love about this. You are sharing what most people would call secrets of success. And they're not. You are really helping others in a world right now where the latest study for graduates coming out of school ask, what is the most important thing to you from your company? And they don't ask. They don't answer money, benefits. They're like, oh, compassion and empathy. And in the old world, we call these soft skills, but you come right out of the gate and talk about soft skills. Can we have a conversation on soft skills? Because honestly, up until I read your book, I thought, like, is anybody going to talk about soft skills? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden we forgot.
This book is only about soft skills.
Right.
It's what lies between your ears and how you take advantage of it. But these are all skills nobody's teaching, and that's the problem. The professional schools don't teach it. The business schools don't teach it, other than in, you know, how to negotiate. But it's not. You know what? And I talk about it in the book. It's everybody assumes when you've been to professional school and if you want to succeed, you have to be a great communicator. That when you used to listen, but nobody realizes, or what few people focus on, is it's the reverse. It's as simple as, I mean, your most important communication skill is not how well you speak; it's how well you listen.
Mm-hmm.
And how you observe the people you're dealing with, and they could be, you know, in most cases they're your business clients, or the people you deal with, or the people you interact with, or your most significant other. And we're so busy talking and interrupting and arguing because our perception is, and it's a natural perception, we're the most important person in the world. But when you're trying to deal with someone, when you're trying to create relationships, you got to flip it on its backside. Most important person in the room is the person I'm talking to, which means if I want to benefit from this relationship, whether it's to sell them something or provide them with a service or really understand them or advance our relationship, it's about how well am I listening to you and putting my own thoughts aside. And it's really hard, particularly when you get emotional or when you're convinced that while the other person's speaking, that what you have to say is more important. That's what it always starts with. What I have to say is more important, so listen. Well, guess what? The other person's thinking exactly the same thing.
Wow.
So if you want to advance with them, and I found this was, you know, one of the keys to my success was just sit down, listen to people, hear their stories. You know, I used to be, and I'm just going to segue from that.
Yeah.
I used to be the guy who, you know, that guy who you're sitting with at a dinner, and the last person in the room you want to be sitting next to is that person because they're just boring as all heck. and you know, if you get in a conversation with them in about 10 seconds, you're not going to know what to say. I was that person. I was that person you didn't want to be sitting next to because, like most people, I'm an introvert. I'm fairly shy, and I know it may be hard to guess that from this conversation, but you know, I've learned some skills about how to act. That allowed me to get through it. And the most important thing I learned, and this again from my wife, is like she's the hero of my life. The most important piece of advice she gave me to get through those situations is interview the person sitting next to you. Ask them a continuous flow of questions about their lives and what they're doing, and each question will lead to the next. You will get through that entire dinner. Now, they may not know a thing about you when it's finished. You know what they're going to walk away saying? And I've seen this from experience. What they're going to say is, Norm's one of the most interesting people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, but it worked, but it's true.
It is true. And, you know, I was really struck by a couple of things. You know, one of the things I walked away with from the book was, and first of all, it is, I love the format. I especially love the questions you ask. You know, you go to an end of a chapter of the book and read, and then there are like about six different little mini paragraphs with a whole bunch of questions. And I thought to myself, Norman can like pull those out and literally teach this to people, but or we could learn this ourselves. But I was struck by a couple things in the book, and one of them is that I scored so high on the introvert scale in my corporate career that my bosses were, they were just like, you're never going to be a great manager. You're just, you can't. That was when we misunderstood what introverts are. I'm also shy, and you would never know it. Never know it. But one of the things that's really cool about being able to not be the first one to jump in on the conversation, those things right on both sides, on one side of our head and the other, those things that we call our ears, we do a lot of listening. And I wanted to ask you this. You talk about three things in your book about how do we choose a restaurant. I'm really struck by your emphasis on service. And I also think in today's world, it is one of the least understood attributes. And I want to ask you, is service today more important than it was 10 years ago? And will it be the cornerstone, the trigger, the thing that decides I'm going to buy that $1 million dot, dot, dot or not?
You triggered an example in my head that I hadn't really thought of at this moment. But because of the pandemic, I'm in my 60s, so we're being very careful, and most of what we order gets delivered.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, when I look, regardless of what I think about Amazon and how big they are and how they're, you know, how people say they're trying to control the world, when I order something and I get an email from Amazon saying your package will arrive this morning, And it actually arrived about half an hour before I'm expecting it, it's hard for me to think of anything other than these guys are geniuses.
Yeah.
So you talk about service, and what have you done? They've got a complicated series of servers and connectivity that they've set up. But regardless of what's in the background that we never see, they promise and they deliver. And, in fact, consistently beat my expectations. And when you talk about service, and I talk about it in the book, it's about managing expectations and over-delivering.
Yep.
And you hear that. And you hear so many people say it, you know, under-promise and over-deliver. And they're just words until you actually do it or until you listen to what your client asks for and says, I can get that to you by Wednesday. And then you deliver it on Tuesday. And they love you. But you delivered on Thursday, and they're off thinking, okay, who else can I hire?
No kidding.
Who else can I use? Or I don't need that service anymore. And why? Because they've set an expectation that they haven't met. And in that respect, I think, you know, in 100 years, nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is the way we deliver it and what's going on behind the scenes that you can't see. I think, and that's why I wanted to reduce it to a restaurant scenario. We as lawyers or accountants or engineers or business people, we're really, you know, we tend to think ourselves perhaps as more educated and more skilled and more sophisticated, but the reality is we're doing the exact same thing that the waiter in the restaurant is doing.
Mm.
Again, a lesson I learned from my was working in a restaurant as a waiter, and the four women are there. He asks them if they want dessert. They all turn it down. He shows up 5 minutes later with the house special dessert and four forks, and he says this is on the house.
Mm.
Now putting the issue of calories aside, of course they all finish it. He came home that night and he said, listen, you won't believe it, but it cost me $8 out of my pay for the cake, but the tip was 30%.
Yeah. And you see, this is why I wanted to have this conversation with you. There are so many things in the book that you pinpoint, but clearly there are things that I picked up on immediately that are so important and a seriously important conversation to have for people that want to learn the skills, you know, to advance their professional career, to be successful. And it is one of those things that without the examples you give in the book and the one you just gave now, it is very difficult to take an academic approach. I've never been able to. I used to train people on soft skills. You cannot take an academic approach to soft skills. I want to ask you this question. I know you've got to run off. This, to me, in that example you gave about Amazon, here's my thing. I know they're going to deliver. But how are they about returns? And we don't think about this as service, by the way. If you get something from a store and it is just not fitting you, it's not the right thing, I don't know, whatever you think it is or it isn't, and you don't want it, how easy is it to give it back? And in the online world, that is really a breaking point. And I want to talk to you about this now and jump ahead because I want to talk with you about professional success. And this is the thing that I refer to at the end, the choices you make. I've never made or I haven't always made the best choices in the world. But I will say this. I really did learn about customer service from selling hot dogs from a hot dog cart when I was homeless. And I never forgot that. And I want to ask you, what is the greatest, I'm telling you, I did. I mean, I learned that when Luigi walks up to you with his, you know, $1,000 Italian shoes, you say, oh, my God, I love your shoes. And a new tie, you say, I love your tie. And you get the hot dog ready three people before they get there. And I was desperate, Norman. I was desperate. I got hot dogs to eat. How hungry do we have to be in today's world to really say, I'm going to learn these skills?
You're asking it in a different way than somebody asked me yesterday. Like, what's the most important thing that I look for when I'm taking, because I mentor young people.
Yep.
And I sometimes mentor old people, but it's the most fun with young people who are starting out. And they say, what's the most important thing you look for in deciding who I take on? And the simple answer is determination. Because it doesn't matter how many years of work or service you put in. What matters way more is how determined you are. Because let's face it, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be problems. There are going to be things you don't know how to do, and you have to get over your fear of people thinking, "Oh my God, I can't believe Norm doesn't know how to do that yet." And that's how I launched my writing career. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I had to learn it. And I can tell you, the first draft of my fiction, I keep it on my shelf because it's that terrible. But somebody pointed it out to me, and I could have, at that point, you know, put it all down and said, okay, I give up. I'm not good at this. Instead, I looked at it and said, okay, I've got some more things to learn. And I went back and I learned and I learned and I learned. And it's the same is true for everyone. And even you with your hot dogs, like you sometimes you just pick it up. You observe somebody else doing something, and you say, okay, I'm determined to learn how to do that. And when you remember that the people who have succeeded, it wasn't a straight line upward or this, you know, this beautiful angle. What it was is a lot of ups and downs, because you learn way more from all the things you can't do or that you fail at or you go home at night and, you know, with your head in your hands because you just put in such an awful performance. And you have a choice. You can give up and quit, or you can say, no, I'm going to learn from what I didn't know how to do yesterday, and tomorrow I'm going to start learning how to do it better. And what you see, and this is
this is what came out from all the people I interviewed. I interviewed close to 25 people who are all, as you know, they're all, their stories are all in the book.
Yeah.
And the one thing they all had in common was that ability to fight through those moments where they were just, one of them started, you know, with a riot from Jamaica with a shirt on his back and nothing else, and made it. And you look at those and they don't have to be the exceptions.
Right.
You know, if you're determined to succeed and willing to learn and accepting that you're going to face failure along the way, and failure is good for you. For me, the greatest thing that ever happened to me, I can only say this in hindsight, was, you know, the business that I spent 25 years building collapsed the year after I left management. So at first blush, it was a huge economic loss, and pretty much everything I'd spent my entire adult life building was disappeared. Everyone was gone. Everything was gone, and I thought, what a huge loss. And again, it was my wife who gave me a pen and a piece of paper and said, start processing your anger.
Mm.
And that's what began my writing. That began my writing career. So out of the ashes came this new opportunity. And we all have that opportunity. It doesn't matter how bad things are today. As you know, it doesn't matter that you're starving and homeless. You know, if it takes one opportunity, or as I say to the people I'm mentoring, just one client is all you need to get started to change your life. And you can do it.
I think your book and your message and what you have shared so generously, Norm, has been for so many people that pick this book up and read it. It is a blueprint, not just about professional success, but so many of the things you've included in here are also attributes of personal success. And I want to thank you for all that you do. Please tell us how we can find out more about you and how we can get a copy of the book.
Sure. The greatest challenge you're going to have is how do you spell Bacall? And it's B-A-C-A-L. And so it's you can go to my website, normanbacall.com, and see all my books and do speaking engagements. The other way to find my books is they're all available on Amazon and iBooks and pretty much anywhere else you'd normally look for them. Take Charge, The Skills That Drive Professional Success is the name of the book. And you can find that. My previous book is called Breakdown, which is the memoir, which is chock full of everything.
Yes. Yeah, no, believe me, I know. I've read that one too.
And you can check out my fictions are also they're murder mysteries, modernized Shakespeare stories. You can see it all on the website. And again, it's just normanbacall.com.
Norman, I can't thank you enough. I wish we had a little bit longer. Hopefully you'll come back to my regular full hour show. But thank you for reminding all of us. Please. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Pat.
All right. Norman Bacall, everybody. And I'm telling you, this book, from the minute you open it, is going to open a door for you. And you are going to have a decision to make. Do I take this advice? My advice to you, read on. We're going to take a short break, everyone. We'll be right back. But are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life flat. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. I like to call this our good and informative news segment. And why do I call it that? Look, I have learned so much about the impact on our bodies, the impact on our environment from the decisions we make. But what is it about this Earth Day that is so very important to take in and think about the next decision we make? Today, Porva, Joshua Porva is joining me here today, Senior Vice President of International Affairs for the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA. And what is today and why is today one of the most important days that you're going to know as you make these next decisions? Here's what it is. We don't understand the impact of the food that we put in our bodies or that we buy. We don't quite understand the ripple effect. But here's one thing to think about. How does meat and dairy affect us? And I don't just mean us as humans. I mean, how does it affect weather? How does it affect what we're doing to the planet? And why now, more than I've seen in my lifetime, plant-based foods really rising to the top? Porva, it's great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Pat. It's wonderful to be here.
You know, I got to tell you, I was quite excited, although I don't make a lot of stops to through fast food, but I was quite excited to hear about a change in culture when it came to food and meat. And what I mean by that is, let me just call it the testing they are doing with plant-based food. But I'm not quite sure people understand how deep down the well this situation goes. I think people sometimes think, I think it's great to really go plant-based, but this has some serious implications, and that's part of your message today for Earth Day, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. What we choose to eat has a tremendous impact on the planet. In fact, the researchers at the University of Oxford found that cutting out meat and dairy products from our diets can reduce an individual's carbon footprint from food by 73%. And that makes it conceivably the single biggest way to reduce your impact on the planet. And increasingly, people around the world are realizing that one of the easiest ways to save animals, the planet, and our own health is to eat vegan. In fact, each vegan saves up to 200 animals' lives a year simply by not eating them.
You know, I was thinking about some of the numbers before we came on here, and I was doing a little bit of my research, and I was shocked. I mean, I consider myself to be, you know, not super well informed, but pretty much I know what's going on. But when I saw some of the numbers, and I'm talking in particular about the amount of life lost to feed human beings, I had to go back and look at these numbers again. And I just thought, wow, we live in such an abundant place, and we don't recognize how quickly 80 billion land animals, you know, trillions of marine life animals killed every year. I had to just stop for a minute, and I couldn't wrap my mind around that.
Oh, I know. I mean, 80 billion land animals are killed every single year for food. That is 8 times the number of humans that there are on the planet. And 2.7 trillion fish are caught every year. That is up to 5 million fish caught every single minute. When we look at those numbers and the fact that as many as 99% of animals in the U.S. are factory farmed, which means that they are confined to sheds or warehouses by the tens of thousands, it starts to become easier to understand how resource intensive the meat, egg, and dairy industry is, because it takes far more resources to channel huge amounts of plants and water through animals and to clear land to rear those animals and the crops to feed them than it does to eat these plants direct. That's why these industries use up one-third of the world's freshwater resources, one-third of the global cropland for feed, all while water scarcity affects every continent, and more than 690 million people still go hungry. And when I say these animals are factory farmed, I mean they are kept in absolute misery. Chickens used for eggs are kept in cages so small they can't even spread a wing. The chickens used for meat are forced to grow so fast that their bodies fail them. They have heart failure. Male calves are unwanted by the dairy industry because they can't produce milk and they're confined to narrow crates for veal. Pregnant pigs are kept in metal cages so small they can't even turn around. I mean, we don't have to be part of this misery. And if we're not, we're better off for it. Because Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, which is the largest organization of food and nutrition professionals in the U.S., they say that if you're vegan, you're at reduced risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, certain cancers, and obesity.
And, you know, when we're talking about this, things I'm really struck by, and thank you for, first of all, thank you for bringing a new level of awareness. I want to make sure everybody knows that if you want to find out more about this, and you want to find out how to make a change in your life, and what I like to say is, look, sometimes it's one change at a time. If you want to do that, go to PETA, P-E-T-A. .org. That's PETA, P-E-T-A.org. Look, one of the things that, boy, I'd be sorry if we didn't talk about this. You know, I recently discovered I have family in Brazil, and I am acutely aware of how they look at the planet differently than perhaps we do here in the U.S. and maybe other countries. And there's something interesting that's happening all around the world, but I find it more interesting, especially in South America, and that is we are just cutting down plants, trees. We're just chopping away at them. And when you see the pictures of these, it just makes you gasp for air, literally. And I know that has a lot of different reasons that that's going on, but I want to understand the relationship between some of that and how it relates to animal-based foods.
Oh, well, we literally are gasping for air because cattle used and killed for meat and leather are responsible for about 80% of all deforestation in the Amazon region. And it's not just nice to have those trees and those animals who live in that forest. The Amazon produces about 20% of the world's oxygen. And in the Amazon, fires are deliberately set to clear land for animals reared for meat, and they can get out of control. We've seen that happen. And facilities linked to raising animals for food occupy about 45% or nearly half of the global surface area. So when you think about it that way, we can see that the meat, egg, and dairy industries are linked to species extinction because animal agriculture continues to take over the Earth's landmass. Species-rich habitats like the Amazon are being destroyed.
It's hard as you and I are speaking, and that's why I love what you do at PETA, because you not only tell us about these things, but you show us images, you show us pictures. You really connect us to the heart and the pulse of not only what's going on, but we're talking today because we can modify our diets. And, you know, this is the thing that I love now about when I have conversations like this. As a side note, one of the first talks I ever did as I was giving birth to myself to become a little bit more green friendly back in the day, mm-hmm. I did a talk on the 50 Shades of Green. And I remember doing that talk in a large audience. And what I was saying was, yes, ideally you want to go to the deep shade of green if you could get there. But if you can't, you've got to start somewhere. That was not well received about 10 years ago, just saying. But this topic is akin to that for me. If we don't start somewhere to make a change, we'll never get on the pathway to further change. How can you help us with understanding the importance of making even the simplest change for people?
Oh, well, you already mentioned our website, PETA.org. People can find tons of resources on there, tons of facts. They'll find recipes to help them eat vegan. They'll find resources to help them live vegan. For example, where to buy vegan fashion or where to buy cosmetics that haven't been tested on animals. And the reason I mentioned that is because cow leather is now regarded as the most polluting material in fashion. And so it's very important that we live vegan. And a lot of people are looking at their diet, looking at what they buy, and making changes. In fact, two-thirds of Americans reported reducing meat consumption in some capacity over 3 years. And everything we do helps, absolutely. In fact, Oxford Martin School researchers, they found that a global switch to vegan diets could save 8.1 million lives by 2050, reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 70%, lead to healthcare-related savings up to $1,000 billion per year, and it could avoid climate-related damages of $1.5 trillion. Each person who decides to have a vegan meal one day is helping toward making those positive changes happen.
Yeah. And that brings me to, you know, I want to make sure I get this question in. I know you're going to be running off here in a minute. How are we doing with our industries? You know, how are we doing with industries moving, you know, or at least providing more options when it comes to vegan meats, milk, cheeses, and other foods? What are you seeing in industries and corporations as the providers of food?
Oh, well, these days you can go to just about any supermarket anywhere in the U.S. and you'll find delicious vegan meats, wonderful vegan milks. You'll also find vegan cheeses, vegan yogurts, vegan ice creams, because as the demand changes, so does the supply. And with that comes also new wonderful business opportunities. That's why we see the global plant-based meat market value. It's estimated to reach $35 billion by 2027, and vegan milks are estimated to reach a profit of $41 billion by 2025. So we're even seeing meat companies getting in on the action, like Tyson Foods, Smithfield, Hormel. All of them have come out with their own plant-based meats. You can go to places like Baskin-Robbins, Carl's Jr., Del Taco, Starbucks. All of them are have wonderful vegan options these days.
And, you know, the other thing, too, I know you talk about is we're finding that people in the industry, especially dairy, are able to convert some of their old machinery and equipment. And I think that has always been the sticking point for industry, but they are finding that they can literally convert some of their old processing equipment. And I think that is refreshing information, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. There's a dairy, or a former dairy, I should say, called Elmhurst in New York, which now sells plant milk instead of cow milk. And it's a dairy that was in existence for 100 years. So that's right. We're now seeing, there's a beef farmer in the UK who's now switched to plant production. He uses his land for producing plants instead. There's been transitions made by pig farmers. And so people around the world, they're having a change of heart as they're learning more and more about how going vegan, living vegan, can help in such a huge variety of ways, can help animals, can help the planet, can help our own health.
Thank you, Porva. Thank you so much for today and everything that you all do at PETA. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Thank you all for tuning in. Now, a very special meditation from Dr. Friedemann Schaub.
Take a few breaths in and out. And with each breath, feel your own presence more and more. Use your breath to remember that this is your life. And there is one person in that life who matters the most, which is you. You don't only have the right to take care of yourself. You have the responsibility to make yourself the priority. After all, if you are all drained and empty, what is there left to give? Giving doesn't mean giving up on yourself. So be open to learn about the four boundaries that will help you to become more independent and more free from the old pattern of pleasing others. Now imagine that you're in a beautiful home, a comfortable place where you can just be yourself, where you can heal and grow, thrive, and learn to love yourself more and more. This can be a cottage, a mansion, a farmhouse, or a loft in the city. What matters most is that you feel truly safe to be yourself here. So look around and you may see that this home isn't yet how you want it to be. But you know there is huge potential here. And you know that you can make this home the home of your dream. You have the ability to do the things that need to be done every day. But even more than that, you also know that you can find out things that you always wanted to do, and you can do them now in that home without any doubts and hesitations. And all of a sudden, you hear somebody knocking at the door. You open and see a familiar face, you know, one of those people from work or a friend or a family member, someone you usually please or take care of. And this person is here with an expectation, as always, for you to drop whatever you're doing, to leave your home, and to take care of his or her needs. But unlike all the other times where you immediately agree and give and even often overgive, this time you say kindly but firmly, no, I have to take care of my home, myself, and my life first. And you notice with surprise that your visitor accepts your boundary, is actually leaving with more respect and appreciation for you than before. So back in your house, you take a moment and with excitement and relief, you realize that saying no wasn't that difficult, and it was actually quite empowering. But then you hear the familiar inner voice piping up, the voice of that part of you that starts feeling anxious, maybe even guilty about disappointing others and potentially losing their acceptance and approval. So you sit down and kindly but firmly say, no, We are not going down the path of guilt and shame. I choose to give myself the time, energy, and care I used to give to everybody else but myself. Taking care of myself is not selfish or self-centered. Taking care of myself is my sacred responsibility to myself and my life. So this is your second boundary, your inner boundary, which allows you to refocus on yourself and your home improvements. So you're scanning around and you can see that other people have left a bit of a mess here that needs to be cleared out. This clutter that you see are all the expectations and projections people have burdened you with. The role of the peacemaker, caretaker, selfless helper, all those roles that you were given since your childhood. Or you can find the imprints of your colleagues that you're the one who always can take overtime on the weekend. Or your friends and family members who expect you to be always there for them without any questions asked. So this is your third boundary, which is to let go of all these old patterns and programs that no longer serve you and, truthfully, have only distracted you from yourself. So you go through each room with a big bag and collect all the unwanted clutter and junk that doesn't belong to you. You clean your house to make it your own. And remember, letting go is easy and natural, just like exhaling. And the more you're filling into this bag, the more clutter you find, the lighter you feel. You actually have fun cleaning your home. And you realize that somehow all these old situations and people and projections had captured some of you, some of your power. So by taking charge and letting go, you feel your power returning more and more. And you feel that you're creating space for more of yourself, your authentic truth, to return as well. Now, after all this great work, you sit down and relax and put your feet up. And you know how empowering it feels to have your boundaries, to say no to others, to say no to your own impulses, to feel bad when you don't take care of others. You enjoy the freedom and the lightness of releasing the old energies and echoes of other people's expectations. But you also realize when you take a moment and look into your heart that you are a kind and caring person, somebody who wants to do good in the world. And so here is your fourth boundary, the force field of compassion. In the past, you have taken the problems and needs of others personally. You have absorbed their feelings and expectations and opinions, and therefore were often unable to discern between them and yourself. With compassion, however, you're still aware of what others need or are going through, but you can clearly see what is them and what is you. It's like an invisible barrier. So with a force field of compassion, you can calmly reflect in any given situation and choose, not out of neediness, but out of strength, how you want to approach it. Through the lens of compassion, you never lose sight on the responsibility for yourself and on other people's potential and responsibility to learn, grow, and overcome their own problems. So open your heart and let your compassion gently flow from it. Fill yourself up and surround yourself with that compassion like a beautiful light. Feel this compassion not only for others, but also for yourself. This allows you to always know whether it's time for you to support others from the kindness of your heart, or whether it's time to take care of yourself. As you sit in the light of your compassion, reflecting on your boundaries, you trust that through your kind and caring nature, you will continue to be of support to those that you love and care about, that you no longer overgive or overextend yourself. Your sense of worthiness and safety depend on you and not on others. So instead of pleasing others, you're committed to learn to appreciate, love, and believe in yourself more and more. Because whatever you have been looking for in others is already available to you within. Allow yourself just to let all these messages percolate in your system, find their place in your mind, take on what feels right, and let yourself just be inspired by whatever you have now seen is possible for you. Find yourself, your independence, and your peace, confidence, and happiness through letting go of pleasing others and learning to focus more on yourself. And then allow yourself to take a nice breath in. One more time, deeply inhale, exhale.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Tuesday to you. And neither here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. But thank folks, so far no major block or accidents to report at the moment. Just a little bit of stop and go issues around I-5 northbound and yesterday moving up into downtown Seattle, of course. But everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good. Enjoy your sunny Tuesday. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, coffee with the universe and more Goldstein. Come home to yourself. And are you living with false sense of self? We want to stay tuned to find out. NBC News
Radio, I'm Tim Roberts. Police on Long Island think they know who shot and killed at least one person at a grocery store this morning. Nassau County Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder says they're looking for a person of interest.
Gabriel DeWitt Wilson, date of birth, 2-17-1990. He's got Long Beach and Hempstead addresses.
Two other people are hospitalized but are said to be conscious and alert after the shooting at a Stop and Shop in West Hempstead. News 4 New York reports it may have been a case of workplace violence. It's day two of jury deliberations in the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who is accused of killing George Floyd during an arrest last May. President Biden spoke yesterday with Floyd's family.
We just talked to them. I want to know how they were doing, just personally. We talked about personal things.
The city of Minneapolis is on high alert over expected public reaction to a verdict when it is announced. Former officer Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter for kneeling on the handcuffed black man's neck for more than 9 minutes last May. Reverend Al Sharpton is going to deliver the eulogy for Dante Wright Thursday in Minneapolis. 20-year-old Wright was shot and killed by a police officer after a traffic stop in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center. Biden cabinet officials are pushing lawmakers to pass the president's infrastructure plan. Testifying before the Senate today, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said Congress must take urgent action to address the climate crisis or it will continue to get far worse.
We see the American Jobs Plan as a once-in-a-generation opportunity to meet this consequential moment and to win the future for the country that we all serve.
HUD Secretary Marsha Fudge said this plan invests in housing, clean drinking water, and a modernized electrical grid to improve access to broadband internet. A federal judge is upholding a South Carolina police officer's 20-year sentence. Michael Slager is behind bars for the deadly shooting of Walter Scott during a chase in 2015. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with repetition. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need, here's a repetitive ad. Okay. Research shows that people remember radio ads with repetition. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need, here's a repetitive ad. Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
What do you get when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor? You get someone who understands. There's an art to listening. Who's able to hear more than what's being said and can provide tailored small business solutions that make you feel truly heard.
I understand. Let's get started.
For advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and solutions powered by Intel vPro platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Mesilli and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you tired of making decisions that don't reflect who you are or where you want to be? Life is busy and worry, stress, trying to keep up with the shoulds and need tos, and the constant pressure to please others just pulls you away from being you and doing you. Well, welcome to Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein, a coming home to yourself. As a psychotherapist, professional psychic, spiritual teacher, influential speaker, and adventurer, we'll have fun and practical conversations around how to know and listen to the soul part of yourself. During this live call-in show, Laura will engage the real you with card pulls, share guidance from the universe, and help you let go of the past so you can make choices that reflect your greater purpose to be who you were created to be. Grab your favorite cup of joe, come sit down with Laura, and let's start the journey. Coffee with the Universe starts now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coffee with the Universe. I am your host, Laura Goldstein. And today we're going to be talking about living with a false sense of self. The tagline for this show is come home to yourself. And what I mean by that is coming home to the part of you that's the authentic part, not the part that is a role that you play or a particular job that you have, not the part that tries to meet the expectations of others or feels obligated by a bunch of shoulds, the real you, the soul part of you. However, so many of us are disconnected from that, and we have this false sense of self as to who we truly are. And it's that place, that center of truth, that is really the epicenter of making aligned decisions and wisdom and knowledge of knowing exactly what to do and what path to follow. And it's our sense of purpose as well. I talk a lot about purpose. So today we're going to talk about discovering the real you and dive more into that false sense of self and where that comes from. So today's episode is for you if you feel a little bit damaged by your past experiences and you're judging who you are based on that. If you're a little confused about your life's purpose, if you're feeling like every day is a struggle, or if your inner critic does not seem to shut up, this is the show for you. And we're going to break this down into three segments. So the first, before the first break, we're going to talk about what self is not. It's always easy to kind of know what we don't want. We're very aware of when things are not working, but we don't always understand what will work, or we don't understand what we do want. We think we know what we want, but that is not always the case. So we're going to address what the self is not. We're then going to, in the second segment, talk about what the self actually is, what that looks like. And then in the last segment, we're going to talk about how to know your real self. And knowing your real self, this is the source of inner peace. So if you're a highly anxious person, this is where you can actually come back to that peace and calm within. It's the source of confidence, not the fleeting kind, like, oh, I just gave an amazing presentation and, you know, I feel awesome and I rock. This is a kind of confidence that really lasts because it's you're solid in who you are. And also clarity around purpose. So like I said before, when you're questioning your purpose, the closer you can get to your soul self, the more clear that purpose becomes. Now, this is a live call-in show. If you're watching on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page, please feel free to add comments. I am offering support today for anyone who wants to maybe uncover a belief or something that's no longer serving them, that's maybe keeping them stuck in that false idea of self. So if you would like to participate, please feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819 or go ahead and type in your request in the Facebook chat if you're there. Okay. Let us dive into what self is not. All right, your self is not your mind. I want you to think of, all right, so think of your brain, because your self is not your brain either. Your brain is like a computer. Your mind is like the software that runs behind the scenes and is the more like logic, it's this, than that. So your mind is the software, and these are your thoughts, your beliefs, your assumptions, but we are none of that. So let's break this down a little bit, because I really want you to be clear as to why this isn't you. Now, your mind, your ego, would love you to think that that's your real self, because it takes pride in, you know, being good and being in charge and wanting to make sure you're safe. So your mind will always want to try and convince you that that is the real you. However, your mind is made up of thoughts. And if you consider how many thoughts you have in a day, if you were your thoughts, every time a thought disappeared, like, you wouldn't exist. You would be gone. And that's not the case. I mean, we have tons of thoughts. Every minute we're having a bunch of thoughts, positive ones, negative ones. So if we were our actual thoughts, every time a thought disappeared, we would, like, vanish. It reminds me of that movie with Drew Barrymore where she lost her short-term memory. 50 first dates or something like that, where, like, if we were a thought, we would disappear and we'd come back and be like, oh, hey, we're new again. We're just consciousness. We're like a little baby. So we aren't our thoughts. We aren't our beliefs either, because you know that as we move through life, our beliefs change. They alter. We grow. You know, first when we're young, we might adopt familial beliefs, but then some of those beliefs don't serve us anymore, and we kind of pick and choose. So they change as well. Our assumptions, we aren't our assumptions. That is kind of like you find yourself to be incorrect about something, you change your mind. You know, anything that is a part of you where change can occur that's not the real you, because the second that change happens, then you disappear with it. So the ego is the I that tries to create a sense of identity based on your thoughts, your beliefs, your assumptions, but it really can't. It struggles with it. It's always an ongoing problem, which is why people struggle with life purpose, because thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes, even roles that you play change. You don't play the same roles, you know, now at, say, you know, in your 40s and 50s than you did when you were, you know, in your 20s. In your 20s, maybe you were a student. Now you could be, you know, a wife, a husband, you have a career. So we, the ego tries to identify with that, but it's always grasping at something, and it's always changing because something comes and other things go. And if you're turning to your mind for a sense of identity, it's almost like going to Google and typing in, who am I, and expecting to get an accurate result. I wonder what happened if you, like, Googled, who am I? Should ask Siri that too, or Alexa. It's like, Alexa, who am I? I ask her crazy questions sometimes just to see what she would say. You know, the computer doesn't know this stuff. So trying to ask your mind, who am I, is like Googling, who am I? It just, you're not going to get a straight, accurate, efficient answer if you get a reasonable answer at all. Okay, so your true self is not that. Your true self is also not your body. Your body is just the temple, the container for your soul. It's the house. It's what allows us to have a human experience, because as a soul, as a spirit, we need to be able to interact with the third dimensional world. So the body is really just a house. So your aches and pains and illness, a lot of people identify with their illness, and it's like, oh, I am cancer, or I have this, I own it. But our body is really not who we truly are. It's just a physical manifestation to hold our essence. You are also not your emotions. Those also come and go. And here we do confuse ourselves as well by saying, like, I am depressed, kind of like that's who I am, versus I am feeling depressed. So our emotions come and go like our thoughts and beliefs. So if we identify with our feelings, the second it disappears, then, oh my gosh, we would disappear too. Okay, so it's not the emotions. They come and go. Some are great. Some are not so great. But watch your language around this. I encourage you to do that because it's amazing. You know, even when we're like, oh, I am happy, instead of I am feeling happy, it is trying to identify that this is me, but it's not. You are also not your experiences. And this is a big one, especially for those who grew up with some kind of emotional or physical abuse or family dysfunction. Maybe they've been programmed that they're not worthy of love. And as a child, when you cannot leave that situation and you are basically trapped in the circumstance, you're trying to cope as best as possible, you do start to adopt those beliefs and you take them on. So when you believe, like, I am an unworthy, unlovable person that sucks at math, so therefore I can never do anything math-related, then you're basically identifying with an experience that you've had versus who you truly are. Okay, so, you know, being or tying yourself to something that you've experienced also changes, because just like if you grew up and had maybe some trauma from an early childhood experience, you can certainly heal from that as well with support and help. So that also is fleeting. And to a lot of it's not really in our control. When we think about experiences, you know, things happen. Reality happens. As much as we would love to be able to control reality, we can't control nature. We can't control what other people do. And so attaching our identity to something that is, you know, isn't in our control is just gambling. You know, when we define ourselves by our experiences and by the things we can't control, it's like playing Russian roulette. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you have great experiences and you feel uplifted and amazing. And, you know, you are someone who is confident and successful and, you know, rocks the house. And then the other times you might leave feeling broken, damaged, unworthy, being a victim of violence or whatever it is. And now we are someone who is helpless and not capable. And so how do you really define yourself around something that's constantly changing? You can't do that. And here's a good example of that. So, like, let's say you're an accountant, and do you go to work today saying, I'm an accountant and I will do accounting all day today? Now, you might not say that to yourself, but that's kind of what you assume because you've played, you know, that role as an accountant. That's your education, that's your career. So you assume that you're going to go work and do accounting all day. But then if you come home that night and you have a leaky faucet, so you get the wrench out and you tighten things up, do you wake up the next day and like proudly declare, I'm a plumber, and then you spend that day going to fix other people's sinks and toilets? No, just because you have the experience of playing a plumber's role, it doesn't change you into a plumber. And that's the biggest mistake that people make around purpose, is that they think, oh, this is a job, and so this is my purpose. This is who I am. I am an accountant. I am a plumber. And the reality is that your mind clings to whatever comes its way that day. And then it starts formulating, like, good or bad feelings based on, you know, trying to feel okay and be okay on the inside and feel good. It's like being on a giant roller coaster when you're trying to identify with all of those parts of you that aren't really you, okay? And so yourself is not that single job. Now, we get a lot of messages from society that our purpose in life is our career. And that's not really the case. When we talk about what purpose in like your true self is, I'll go a little more into that. But it's really not a single job, because, again, what happens if you get laid off and you switch jobs? Does that mean that your self changes? No. I also talked a lot about what purpose is and isn't in the last Coffee with the Universe show. That's episode number 7. So if you are on the constant search for purpose and just speaking on purpose resonates to you, go check that out. But I did want to mention it here because this is just something that people associate self with. Who am I? I'm an accountant, a plumber, a mom, a wife, a busy executive. And finally, self is not your zodiac sign. Now, I am a firm believer in the accuracy of astrology. I am not an astrologist, and I don't report to know how to, like, find any of that information about your natal chart and birth sign and what house is where. I don't know how to do that, but I do know from working with practitioners the information is accurate. However, this is really more associated with personality traits. Now, astrologists might disagree. Hello, Kat. Healy shows up here. Astrologists might disagree because there is a little bit of overlap between this and, like, your soul and where your soul is born and star systems and things like that. But when I look at myself as a Libra and I look at those traits, this is descriptive more of my personality and how I show up in the world versus who I am at soul level. And knowing the difference, like knowing myself as a Libra versus knowing myself at soul level as a divine communicator, I can see how this is different and how the zodiac sign really speaks more to my personality. Okay, so these are really all the things that self is not. And as I'm talking to you about it, you probably already know this, but if we aren't paying attention and really having that awareness on a daily basis, it's really easy to start and slip into patterns where we're identifying that this is me, and then because of this, this is how I need to feel, and then we get like emotionally wrapped up in it, okay? All right, so we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into who self is. I just want to remind you, this is a live call-in show. You can request some support of maybe digging up a belief that you're identifying with that isn't working anymore. Because our mind works on autopilot, it's not always obvious, so it is nice when we can use like certain tools to help uncover something that maybe you're ready to release, but you just aren't aware of. So to call in, dial 1-800-930-2819, or if you're watching live on Facebook, you can certainly type in the chat. And I will see you after the break.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days. Naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit SarahKRamsey.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What? Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
Hello, Laura Goldstein here with Coffee with the Universe. Welcome back. We are knee-deep in a discussion about who is the real me. Instead of identifying with a false sense of self, which just leads to anxiety, stress, overwhelm, depression, low self-confidence. We want to identify with the part of us that is truth. So let's talk about, we talked about in the last segment what self is not. So let's talk about who or what is your real self. So the real self goes by many names, and you can call it what you want. Some people refer to it as the soul. I do. I also refer to it as the spirit. Some call it consciousness. Some call it like awareness. I've even heard like inner witness. Really, it doesn't matter what you call it because it means the same thing. It's essentially the you that is conscious and aware, the you that is the observer of all your thoughts, your emotions, your body aches, and your experiences. So if you think about this, you know that you're having a thought. Like if you're having an off day and your thoughts seem to be stuck in negativity, if you are a pretty aware person or you have a little bit of awareness, you will notice that. You're going to say, wow, you know, I'm having a really off day and my, you know, my mind is like just criticizing me and it's kind of stuck in this negativity. You know that. Who is the you that knows this? It's not your thought. Your thought is, oh, today sucks and I can't believe this is happening to me, and, you know, you should have done this better. I mean, that's your thought. So you are the observer of this happening. Same with the emotions. When you feel love, how do you know that you feel love? Who is feeling that? You are. It's like, oh, yeah, this is love. I mean, it's like you're consciously aware. When you lose someone and experience that grief, whether it's a breakup or death, you experience a sadness. Who knows this? Who knows I'm feeling sad? Who knows that? You do. It's that consciousness. When your body hurts in places that you didn't even know could hurt because you did a two-hour, very advanced backbend-focused yoga workshop, true story. Who knows this? When your butt hurts and you're like, wow, I didn't know my butt could hurt so bad. It's like you are the observer of that. You aren't that pain, but you know this. And if the pain subsides, do you go away too? No. So the real you is that witness. It's almost like you're, let's say like you're at a movie theater and you are at, like people say the seat of consciousness, and this is what it means. You, let's say you are in the seat at the movie theater. You are watching the movie screen, and on the movie screen, you are seeing your thoughts go by. You're seeing, like, your emotions. You are seeing any assumptions or judgments float by. You are seeing feelings. It's like you are witnessing this. You aren't those things. You're happily sitting in the seat in the movie theater. I mean, when you go to the movies and you are watching a show or like Jurassic Park, why Jurassic Park? I don't know. That just came out of my head. You know you're not really there. You're not like, oh, I am that person that is in the car fleeing from the dinosaur. I'm not. It's like you know that there's separation there. You're just watching this for entertainment. So your true self is almost like that. Now, some things, yes, I think that our soul self has a sense of humor. So it can be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Ah, you know, not in a judgmental way. I don't want to make it sound like the ego, but I think that the soul can have a sense of humor. Like, oh, ha-ha, I'm watching this, silly humans. And at the same time, it just knows that this doesn't really mean anything. You are still that person sitting in that seat. So I hope that makes sense because like the seat of consciousness can really be a more difficult concept to wrap your brain around. So we know that we are this consciousness. We can't be our thoughts and emotions. They come and go. Do you, the thoughts that you had when you were a kid, do you even remember those? No way, it'd be impossible. So you as the observer are just witnessing this as you go through life and experience different stages. So awareness, consciousness, soul, spirit, this all equals energy. And there are many different schools of thought about like what a soul is. It's energy. We're all the same. I've heard like we are all one single energy. And I do believe that the soul is all part of the same vital force, source energy. So we are all connected that way. And me personally, I know this because sometimes I feel very expansive and open, like that moment when you feel like such gratitude and or you're taking a walk and you're like, oh, it's so beautiful, and you just feel the love pouring through. That's when like my real self is there because it's open and feels expansive. When I'm feeling low energy and a little bit negative, depressed, then I'm closed, like I feel contracted. And then that's when we are not really connected to or identifying with or in touch with that real part of ourselves. So my philosophy is that our real self is who we are at soul level. And this is too based on my professional experience reading souls and from the information that I received. So we kind of went over like the general concept of who the real self is. It's the soul, it's the consciousness. And like the consciousness never changes. I mean, when you looked in the mirror when you were say 10 years old, it's the same you that's looking in the mirror now. You might look physically different because your body has certainly changed, but it's still the same you. It doesn't change. And at soul level, our energetic makeup doesn't change. It doesn't come and go like our false sense of self. As a soul, we are this energy, and these are the building blocks, and that is consistent from lifetime to lifetime. That just doesn't change. Our soul doesn't need to change. It's perfect right as it is. So let me give you an example of what I mean by the soul being an energy. Souls are made up of a primary energy, which I equate to kind of like the soul purpose, the essence, what it's designed to do. So for example, my primary energy is communication. I am a natural teacher of both written and spoken words, like coming up with copy and things to talk about is super easy for me. It's just what I do naturally. I feel in flow and it's authentic. So just like you would have a brain-based strength, this part of you has a primary gift, this energy that kind of like you're created as a soul to do this. I don't believe that all souls are created exactly the same. I think that would be like having a world where like the only career option is that of accounting. I'm picking on all the accountants today, maybe because it's tax time and I've been calling my accountant a lot. But it'd be like living in a world where the only job is that of an accountant. There's no diversity in that, and nothing else would get done except for taxes. So just like we have brain-based strengths, and that's different. Remember, our brain is like the computer. There are different ways that we compute. Some can do math in their head. Some are great at synthesizing and bringing information together. So our brain does have strengths. But that is more of like an asset to who we are at soul level. I feel like our brain-based strengths are like not the foundation of your house, but the decorations, the granite countertops, the, you know, arched windows or the tray in the ceilings. It's almost like it's a supplement to the core, that soul part of you, that primary energy is that most essential piece that really supports you in creating fulfillment in your work, in your life, and helps you to create the abundance that you want. So as a soul, we have that primary energy that really kind of determines how we are in flow. And it's never changing. It's pure love energy. And so therefore, your real self is your spirit, your soul, who you are at soul level, but that and also the energetic building blocks of how your soul is formed. Okay, and I know it's a little bit abstract to think about that. There's not really like a picture that I can show you. When I work with people, it makes sense because I'm teaching them about who they are at soul level. I talk to them about their primary energy, their strengths, and it makes sense to them. They're like, oh, I get that. I've tapped into that before. I have felt that. And we know that everybody, well, most people have, especially if you're watching this because you believe in, you know, yourself as a divine being, you know, deep into personal growth and development. I mean, most people that are listening to Transformation Talk Radio are here because they are on the path to wellness and to really knowing themselves better, to being authentic. So you've already probably experienced those moments where you're just connected to yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, I just feel so amazing, so expansive. So you know it's there. It's now a matter of what does that really look like? Let's, you know, going deeper and what are my soul strengths and what is my primary energy and who am I that's not constantly changing, that just steady, grounded, stable part of me that is just the observer. And the beauty about being the observer, and this is why it's so wonderful, like when you're working with people who are experiencing anxiety or overwhelm, when you know you're just the observer, you can almost detach yourself from what is going on. So if you are, let's say, at work and you are having an argument with your boss or a colleague or something and it got heated and nasty and you're starting to, you know, feel miserable and maybe doubt yourself, you can say, you know what, I am not this. This experience is not a reflection of me. At soul level, I am a divine communicator. I am calm. I am grounded. And I am just watching this like a movie. I am just watching what's going on. And when you can just relax into that place of watching and not like being in it, then you experience a decrease in stress, anxiety, whatever it is that you're feeling. It's like your body automatically relaxes. It's the difference between watching the Jurassic Park and being like, oh, you know, these dinosaurs are there, but they're not really there, so I don't need to be afraid, versus actually being in the movie and believing you're in the movie and being chased by a very large dinosaur with very large teeth that could eat you, right? So that's the difference. It's, this is who I am, and I'm going to sit back, be the observer, and detach from this experience because this isn't who I am. And I'm just going to relax into it because, like, every experience, thought, feeling, this is going to pass, and I don't need to make mean anything. Okay. After the break, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about how to know your real self for greater happiness and peace within. I'm going to talk a little bit about how I work with people. And it is your last chance to call in and request support today. Our mind does work on autopilot, so sometimes it's not really obvious. Sometimes it is hiding from us. So last chance, you can call in. 1-800-930-2819, or use the Facebook chat to ask a question. I will see you after the break.
Mary Jane Mack. And yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Welcome to Light Body Wisdom with internationally known Light Body Whisperer, Grace Holm. She will make you laugh and yawn as you release lifetimes of trauma and begin to feel much lighter. Your divine gifts may be activated, allowing you to weave light into the fabric of the world. Are you ready to be your own light and shine? For more information about Grace, visit GraceGHolm.com. That's GraceGHOM.com. Are you ready to let go of the I can't that are holding you down? Valerie Trujillo invites you to join her community on a mission to collectively heal as a tribe, where your vulnerability is heard and reciprocated. So tune in to Love and Light with the Crystal Blue Oracle every second and fourth Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Valerie and her work, visit CrystalBlueOracle.com. Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Sage and Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Sage and Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ChangeOfSpirit.com. Take the power of essential oil healing to the next level with the Essential Light Insight Deck, containing 61 oracle cards. Each card holds a painting and message that captures the spirit of an essential oil. By drawing a card, you'll illuminate the spiritual healing capacity of plants and transform your day. For more information about the Essential Light Insight Deck and Gen Ripa, visit Thriveology.com.
Welcome back to Coffee with the Universe. I am your host, Laura Goldstein, and today we are having a discussion on having or associating with either the false sense of self or the real you. And why do we want to do this? Because when we identify with our real self, then we experience inner peace, abundance, joy. So there are benefits to learning who you really are instead of being all stressed and overwhelmed and anxious trying to identify and deal with maybe a role, a past experience, what you think you should be doing, etc. So in this last segment, we're going to talk about how to know your real self. We talked about who your real self is, who your real self isn't. Now we're going to talk about how to know your real self, how to get to know that part of you. I did have a comment in Facebook from Bob, and I like this because he says that I am that I am. And this term, I am that I am, is referred to in a lot of spiritual texts, like A Course in Miracles. A lot of yogis will use this phrase, and basically I am greater than my roles, my experiences. I am that which is pure divine energy, and we are all an extension of that. We are all part of that pure source energy. And he said that the mind is just a tool that he uses, and that is so true. That's why I often explain it like a computer and software, because your mind is a tool. It's not meant to
guide you or make decisions for you. It's like going to Google again and typing in Google, oh, who am I? Should I marry Bob? You know, it's like, what, you know, you wouldn't ask that of just a tool. A tool is there to help guide, but it's not going to give you those answers. But knowing yourself and connecting to your real self, that is where you're going to get the answer. So let's talk about how to do that. Okay. The first piece is really understanding that our soul is perfectly created. There are no fears. There are no worries about past or what's going to happen. So when you are connecting with that part of you, if you like note a hint of fear, or that voice is a fearful voice, or it's worried about, you know, the future, or it's ruminating over the past, that is not, that's not you talking. That's not part of you. So when you are connecting with your real self, please note that that is pure love energy. It's not going to have any of that. And you, the real you, your consciousness exists in the present moment. So this is why mindfulness is used a lot to help people come back to a sense of peace. You know, people that are maybe ruminating over the past, that are stressing, worrying about things, mindfulness is used because our consciousness is really only here right now in the present. Our consciousness cannot be dealing with something that, you know, happened when we were 10, but also being right here. It's not a multitasker. So being mindful and just focusing on the present moment is the first step to really coming home to yourself and knowing yourself. It's, you know, that you can't meditate and be in peace if you are worried about a big presentation tomorrow, or you are rehashing some argument that you had with your spouse 2 weeks ago. There is no meditating, and you know this. So mindfulness is a tool to help us connect to our real self. Now, you know, the trouble is, you know, you have to be like very diligent about being mindful, constantly bringing yourself back to the present moment. And you need that in order to use these other tools to, again, connect to yourself. So, for example, and you might have already tried some of these, meditation, where we have to be present, we have to be mindful, and let's meditate on connecting to my real self, to knowing my real self. And there's nothing wrong with that. It can take a long time, and, you know, meditation is really a skill. It takes a lot of practice. It's not easy to meditate. I mean, I set my timer for 7 minutes, and some days it's a struggle for me, and I've been doing this for many years now, but still, it's a practice. So you can use meditation, but if you're not skilled at it, it's going to be a little slow going. Journaling, a lot of people journal to connect themselves. They do like that streaming conscious, what is it? It's called like a morning pages or something like that, where you're just streaming consciousness. And that works too, to get like little insights and tidbits. So there's nothing wrong with practicing mindfulness and meditation and doing some journaling. And some people love to go on like a Eat, Pray, Love sabbatical somewhere to try to connect to themselves, to, you know, learn who they truly are. I mean, that's great. Some people are adventurous and, you know, will take a 6-month sabbatical. But for the most part, the rest of us just kind of want to know so that we can get on with whatever it is we're trying to accomplish in our life. So some of these tools take a long time. And if you're on a path of self-discovery, you know, no big deal. You can take as much time as you need. Now, some people do mistakenly get caught up in the tool that they're using, and then they, you know, falsely identify themselves as a spiritual being because I read tarot, and then they say, well, I'm enlightened spiritually because I meditate for 2 hours a day. And it's like, no, that doesn't make you a spiritual being. That doesn't make you a soulful being. Those things are just tools. You are a soulful being just because you are, just because you are a soul that was divinely created. So the tools don't really, you know, equate to now I'm a spiritual being. Then you're just associating with an experience, not with the pure energy itself. Some people have tried, maybe you've tried like tarot cards to connect to yourself. And I remember a client who came and was like, oh, you know, I got the tower. And it's like when I'm trying to identify with myself and I get a tower where they're like, there's a crashing down building. What exactly does that mean? What does that say about me? Does that mean like I'm destined to be in crumbles all the time? So we can misread to a lot of these tools that we're trying to use to connect to yourself. So there's nothing wrong with it. It just depends on, you know, if you want the long way, more indirect path, or do you want a more direct path? So the more direct path is working with someone like myself. I've been trained to do this, who can actually read people at soul level. And it's really reading energy. This isn't, you know, some major like, oh, unique, special gift. I mean, we all read energy. We all can meet somebody and be like, oh, you know, they kind of have a good vibe, or no, not so much. It's basically just reading energy. But I've been trained to know what I'm looking for. When I'm reading who someone is at soul level, I'm looking at their primary energies. What are those building blocks? How can I adequately convey to my client who they are? Here's their purpose. Here are their strengths. Here is where your soul came from. And it makes sense because it's reading about somebody. It's a very direct route versus kind of like the do-it-yourself process. I mean, I know if I had to DIY my taxes, there'd be a lot of pain and suffering involved, and it would take me a very long time versus just, you know, paying somebody to do it for me. It's quick and easy. Now, are there people who want to learn how to do their taxes? Sure, absolutely. But, you know, when I wanted to get to know myself, like, and that's the reason why I'm in this work. It's like I went through this process of questioning, who am I? What is my greater purpose? I'm tired of feeling stressed and anxious and overwhelmed all the time. Who am I? And when I found the right supports to help me understand, it was like, oh, that makes sense. I was able to get a solid understanding of who I really was. And when I could do that, it really helped me detach. It helped me just sit in that seat and detach from what's going on, because I knew no matter the external circumstance, no matter the chaos or what someone was saying about me, or maybe what my ego was like beating myself up over, I knew that that wasn't me, because I had that foundation, that framework, that structure of the house to ground me. So when you can, so when I can say to myself, you know, I am pure love energy. I am a divine communicator. This is who I am. There's nothing that anybody can do to change this. Just find a way to stand in that power and maybe make some tweaks to what I'm doing, make some adjustments. Whatever it is, it's like I can always come back to that sense of self, that knowing myself, that true self, and then just be the witness and the observer to what's going on. I can kind of relax and release into my movie chair and just observe and let it go. All right, so there are benefits to this because it creates happiness and inner peace. You start making choices and living by who you are at soul level. You start to know the difference between the who that is guiding you. For example, when you really start to connect, and I do help people get a visual, like I help my clients get a visual as to who they are at soul level, just so we can wrap our brain around it. I mean, this is really a tool for the mind's sake, because a lot of this is abstract. It can be hard to understand. So we get a visual, but once you do that, you have a better sense of who is guiding you at the time. Is it that calm, expansive energy, or is it like the all-over-the-place drama-loving mind? So you then start to learn at a deeper level what's going on. I'm aware who is guiding me, who's driving my bus, and who do I want to listen to? How can I come back to that seat of consciousness and relax, release, let this go, or just adapt what I'm doing to be more in alignment? So when you are honoring your real self and listening to that, you're following your inner GPS. Your inner GPS never leads you astray. And what's beautiful about knowing your real self and connecting to that is that you start to not be concerned about what other people expect from you. It's almost like you can make choices, even if it's not popular with your family, your friends, your colleagues. You start doing those things that is right for you because you are being guided by your real self. And that's a beautiful thing, because trying to live life based on someone else's rules and what they expect from you is very frustrating, and it's very depleting. So when you can stand in your ground, even if it's not popular with people, it's a beautiful thing. It really does show and demonstrate your confidence. So if knowing your real self speaks to you, I do offer a soul purpose session. You can find that on www.loregoldstein.com. This is a session through Zoom. It's recorded. And it really is a transformational experience, and it's really for those who are serious about really diving into this work. So go check it out. I'll give you, if you go to loregoldstein.com, it goes through everything, like what's included and things like that. So head on over there if you're interested. All right, to close, we are running out of time here, so I just want to end with, you aren't your thoughts, your emotions, your body, or experiences. If you were, you would have vanished into thin air at a very young age as your very first thoughts, emotions, or experiences came and went. Listening to the mind that just grasps onto anything to try and feel better is a surefire way to struggle, but learning to be your soul self, the observer, gives you the choice to find solace in the perfect energy that you are. Thank you.
You've been listening to Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein. Thanks for taking a break and giving yourself this time and joining Laura for Coffee with the Universe. Knowing yourself and listening to your inner guidance are the first steps to creating more joy, fulfillment, abundance, and peace. Make sure to come back next time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to do more live card pulls, share tips, and ideas to help you let go of things that are no longer working so that you can truly be yourself. If you'd like more information or to set up a Being Doing guidance session with Laura, please visit LauraGoldstein.com. That's LauraGoldstein.com.